In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, in verse 16 and 17, Jeremiah records, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen." This illustration, we talked about Jeremiah's word pictures a few weeks ago. This illustration here maybe doesn't hit as close to home for us today as it would have certainly the people of Jeremiah's day, or even the people in the days of Jesus and the apostles. Because when we think about roads, we've got highways, we've got interstates, we've got all kinds of great ways to travel, and all of them are relatively safe. But when we put ourselves back in this time frame, or maybe back in the time frame that our parents or grandparents may have lived in, this becomes a little more visual for us. In order for me to envision this idea, to get a grasp of it, I think back to the Westerns that I read. I read a lot of Westerns, and one of the things that's talked about in there is the paths through the woods and the paths from one place to another. And the writers talk about how you look for the well-worn paths, because they're the paths that take you to water across the desert. They're the paths that take you around from around the dangerous and troubling places. One of the phrases I recall is, if you look for the old Indian paths, you'll find they sit down away from the very top of the mountain. They drop down a little bit, so you're not being skylined as you walk across, which makes you safer. And I use that to help me understand what Jeremiah is talking about here and how it can apply to us today. Jeremiah is saying there's a way that you can know is safe, that's secure, that's going to help you. And you need to seek that way out. You need to walk in that manner. Or the other illustration there in verse 17. I've set a watchman out, listening for the trumpet. Once again, that's an image that does not fit our society so well as it did in days past. And once again, I have to go back to things that I've read, because I've never experienced this, but towns used to have somebody that stayed up all night and watched for the enemy. And whether they blew a trumpet or banged on a drum or whatever it may have been, that was an indication that they were going to be saved, because there was that person watching out for them. We need a place that's safe and secure. We need a pathway to walk that is going to be not just profitable for us, but give us security and peace. And we can only find that in Jesus Christ Himself, in the pathway that He has laid down. Security, peace, comfort, tranquility is found only in Christ. And I don't know of anybody that I have been associated with in the past 50-something years that I can recall that did not seek some security and peace in their life. One of the ways that we know that the way of Christ can give us security and peace is it is a way that overcomes the temptations, the tensions, the anxieties, the cares, the troubles, and the trials of this world. It lifts us above them. As we read from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, as he talks about the animosity between the Jew and the Greek, he makes the point there toward the end of verse 14 through 18. He says, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." We talked about this morning when we talked about unity, as Paul discusses in the Ephesian letter multiple times. He brought peace to disparate nations. He made them one. And that could only be found in Christ. And he wrote to the Colossian brethren, he said, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And I realized that Paul was talking about bringing two nations together that were opposed to one another, who had been separated by the law of God. But the principle that he talks about, if Christ can bring peace to Jew and Gentile, he can bring peace to us today. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, we read, the steadfast mind will keep, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. If we want to have peace and tranquility in our life, we need to put our trust, our hopes, our dreams, everything into God. We can know that we're going to have such tranquility because God has promised us such things. Even such simple things as the daily needs that we have as we go through this life. Jesus has promised us if we will put our focus upon God and His kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these other things will be dealt with. They will be added to you, the text says. We need to learn to put our confident trust in the Lord because it erases the cares and anxieties. It removes all the difficulties and troubles of this world. Now, I say that and somebody says, well, wait a minute, my life's still pretty difficult. Well, is that difficulty because you've been putting your focus on God and serving Him? Or is that difficulty because you're getting caught up in all the things that are going on around you in the world? Yes, we do have some obligations to fulfill in the world. But aren't we taught by Scripture that we're to fulfill those as if we're fulfilling our responsibilities to God? Shouldn't we be approaching those with an attitude of, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the God of heaven. And recognizing that everything we do is for God and He is a strengthening force in our life should help us to deal with those difficulties and struggles. Help us to overcome them. Maybe some of them even get put behind us because we recognize they really don't make that big of a deal after all. We have the promise that God is able to make all grace abound, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When he told the thief that he needed to stop stealing and go and get a job and labor so that not only could take care of himself, but he could help take care of others who were in need. He emphasizes there that when we put our minds and our focus upon serving God as God would have us to do, living in accordance with His will, we have what we need. In fact, we'll have it in sufficient quantities that we should be able to help those who are in need. Maybe a part of the problem that we have with these cares and struggles of this life, to go back to that idea and the things that Jesus is talking about there in Matthew chapter 6, is because we've gotten mixed up on what our needs and our wants are. We've got our wants focused on things of the world rather than on things of heaven. And maybe that's why we're having such a struggle. Paul assured the Philippian brethren that his God would supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In fact, a few verses before that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, I'm confident that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Excuse me. Christ has always and always will. Watch out for those who are His. The Hebrew letter in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Are we willing to put all our trust and our hope and give ourselves wholly over to Christ and let Him take care of those things? I told elsewhere in Scripture, cast your cares upon God, for He cares for you. He's concerned about our well-being. He wants us to have the things that we need. Now, we can't take this like so many today and extrapolate from this that if I devote myself wholly over to God, He's going to give me all the money I could possibly want. That's not what He says. Needs, responsibilities will be fulfilled if we put our focus on serving God. Tension and anxiety and the cares of this world can be overcome because we are never alone when we come up against any challenge. No matter what the world may throw at us, we know that God is there with us to help us make it through. And even if we do lose everything in this life, including our lives, if we put our trust in the Lord, we have a better place waiting for us anyway, in eternity. There is security to be found in Christ. And one of the ways that we know that security is found in Christ is because in Christ we can be relieved of the anxieties and worries of this life, if we will allow ourselves to be. In Christ, we can gain a direction and meaning for our life. Because, as we touched on just a moment ago, in Christ we're encouraged. In fact, when we truly understand Christ and what He's asking of us and what God expects of us, we recognize and understand that all of these things that we might get caught up in this life are only temporary. In fact, when we read passages such as Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a reminder that what we're concerned with, because we belong to Christ, is not the things of this earth that are going to pass away, but the things of heaven. We're concerned with our soul, whether it's pleasing in the sight of God, whether we're righteous and upright. Because as we've studied in the book of 1 John, the things of the world are not of God. And the world is passing away in all its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Take that back to the ideas that are presented there in Matthew chapter 6 of putting our focus upon serving God and doing His will rather than on the temporary, deteriorating things of this world. We get the right perspective and regards, and we get direction and meaning for our life. We talked about this morning, we have a hope of eternity, and we'll deal with that just a little more. But our mind and our focus turns away from the things of this world and turns to God. We're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, James tells us. We understand the temporariness of what's going on here. And once we begin to understand that, in fact, Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, since these things will all be destroyed, once we begin to understand that, it impresses upon us even greater the need to make sure we're pleasing in the sight of God. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Recognizing the temporary nature of all these things of the world gives us a direction to go. Gives us a meaning in life that cannot be found here on this earth. And then we hear instruction like the Apostle Paul gives to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12 that we are not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of your word, the word of God. Renewing our minds through study and application of the word of God. It pulls us away from the things of this world. And doing so gives us strength and security. Gives us a peace that cannot be found in this life. We have a pattern, an example that we can follow. Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, you've been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And I'm afraid, brethren, that we've missed the point that Peter's making there. We get that we're supposed to follow in the steps of Jesus, but the example that that Peter points to is the suffering of Christ. That we bear up under the suffering because we know what life is all about. We know it's more than here. Why was Jesus able to bear up under the suffering, the pain, and the sorrow that was associated with Calvary? Well, the trial, all the things we've been looking at in our Wednesday night Bible class over the last couple of weeks. Because he knew what it was going to bring. Why did we sort of endure all those long trips with our family when we were going to Grandma's house? Because we knew we were going to Grandma's house. And as parents, we knew Grandma would take care of the kids for a little while. We could get a little bit of a rest. As kids, we knew we were going to Grandma's house. We could put up with our brothers and sisters being stuffed up against us in the seat for a few hours in order to get there. Extrapolate that out to what we know is the end result of living a life of righteousness here on this earth, a home in heaven. The only place that can be found is in Christ. The only place we can find that kind of security, that kind of peace and assurance is in Christ. After performing his act of humility and service and washing the disciples' feet, Jesus said, I gave you an example that you should do as I do. You see, putting our focus upon serving God is not all about just what's going to happen to us. It's about how we conduct ourselves with others. Whether we're willing to be a servant or not. One of the best ways to get your mind off of what's going on in your own life is to help somebody else. We see that in the physical world. And I think we see that as Jesus tells us, the example he left for us was an example of service, helping others. There's meaning in life. There's a direction. Certainly, when we consider the things that we're supposed to have as our focus because we belong to Christ, our service to others has to be leading to trying to help them come to God. Doesn't mean that's the only thing we do. We have examples of helping those that are in need. But part of what we're doing in serving others is bringing them to God, helping them to see the security and the peace that we have in Christ. Paul encouraged the Philippian brethren to have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ, his humility, his willingness to serve in themselves. He told the Colossian brethren, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. We need to be looking to where Christ is set on the right hand of God. That turns us from the world. That gives us a direction somewhere besides the things that are here in this life. As the Hebrew writer tells us, we ought to lay aside the things of this world, every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that leads us directly into the third thing that we have in Christ, that gives us this security. Our lives are anchored in the hope of eternity. We have an anchor of hope because we're looking toward heaven. We're looking beyond this life. again in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, therefore, that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You used to be separate from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By giving ourselves over to serve the Lord and to submit ourselves to His will, we're brought into the presence of Christ. And we're given an anchor here in this life because of the promises that are given to us. The Hebrew writer reminds us that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What do you mean, Hebrew writer? I'm not a Jew. I don't get all these veil and things. Well, as we read just a moment ago, Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. If our hope is in Him, if our focus is on Him, we're looking to be with God. He's provided the way to allow us to be in the very presence of God. Because we have such hope, when we meet struggles and difficulties in life, we recognize that there's something beyond this world, and no matter what might happen to us here, we've got a better place waiting on us. And not only that, but because our strength comes from the Lord, and as we mentioned a moment ago, because of Christ and His influence in our life, we're able to deal with anything. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, brethren, no temptation can overtake us. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. No matter what we face, God stands with us. He will help us out. He takes care of His own. He prepares us for that eternal abode that awaits the faithful. Jesus told the same thing to His apostles. He said in John chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Some would look at the world as how it's going on, and they look at all the wickedness and the evil, and they look at all the things that have happened over the years, and they say, where is this Christ? Where is this God that you depend upon? He's not coming. Peter wonders about this in 2 Peter chapter 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come, following after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of His coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, everything continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Yet we have the promise that was given to the apostles in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you've watched Him go into heaven. Not only is Jesus in heaven and can anchor us there, but He's coming back for us. Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm afraid that's an assurance that we don't think often enough about. Even if we lose everything, including our life, if we belong to the Lord, heaven is still ours. Maybe it's because we haven't let our direction be guided by the Lord. We've not let our hopes be put in heaven. Our hopes are in something here on this earth. But as Paul said, we need to understand for us to live as Christ and to die as gain. While we live here upon this earth and we conduct ourselves in accordance with the will of the Lord, it benefits Christ and His kingdom. It benefits our brethren. It can benefit our neighbors and our friends as we're influencing them to turn to God, to find the peace and security that we have. But when we die, it's so much better. It's gain. Death to the one that belongs to the Lord is success. It's crossing the finish line. It's receiving the prize. That's why when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul said, I'm ready to die. And when I do, my reward's waiting. Are we anchored in that hope of being with God? If we want to experience the security and peace that's found in Christ, we need to be. Christians, those of us who are secure in Christ are comforted by the fact that those who have passed on, who were faithful to the Lord, those who are now asleep, as Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, have hope. They will go to the Lord when He returns. God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, who will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Find comfort in the fact that when you die, you will be with God. Whether you die before He returns, or your life ends when He returns. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The perishable does not inherit the imperishable. We can't receive our reward and still be living on this earth. If our hope is in the things of this world, if that's what we're looking forward to, we're going to be miserable. Especially if while we're looking forward to something in this life, and all our hopes and dreams are based upon that, but we're trying to serve God at the same time, that's not going to work. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of sin is death. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because you know these things, because you know that your hope is in what's after this life, not what's in this life, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil or labor is not in vain in the Lord. security is found in Christ, because in Christ our hope is anchored somewhere besides this world. It's anchored in eternity. At the feet of God, the Creator of all. Of course, this security is dependent upon us having a right relationship with God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We become a part of the family of God. We become His children. We've been baptized into the death of Christ and being buried with Him through baptism into death. Just like Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, we also rise to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We become part of a family. We gain a relationship that cannot be found here on this earth. We're sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, Paul told the Galatian brethren. For all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. As we looked just a week or so ago in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. We talked a little bit about that when we went through those verses in Bible class. But notice, we are already in the family of God when we put our hope and our trust in the Lord by being obedient to His Word. That gives us the right to come into the very presence of God and approach Him with our needs and our concerns. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. If our heart does not condemn us, John says, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Is there any place on this earth, any kind of relationship in this world, that we can possibly have where we can know without a doubt, if we go to someone with our problem, it's guaranteed they're going to fix it? Even our parents are limited in what they can do for us sometimes. Well, they'll do their best. But we have God on our side. And He can do anything. He can carry us through any trial. And we can be secure in Christ, because we can know that as children of God, when we have a need, we can talk to God about it. And He'll help us deal with it. Through Christ, we can talk to the very Creator and know that He listens to our concerns and our cares. Of course, ultimately, what we're talking about is we can have security in Christ, because in Christ, we are saved. We're taken out of this world, so we don't have to be concerned with the cares and difficulties that might cause anxiety. We may have to deal with some of those things, but we don't have to let them get in our way of serving God. Because God gave His Son so that those who believe in Him would not perish but would have eternal life. When we submit ourselves to the will of the Lord, We are able to free ourselves from the sin that has beset the world from the very beginning almost. From the time of man being cast out of the Garden of Eden until now, man has been having to deal with sin. It's a constant burden upon everyone until we turn to Christ. We submit to Him. We obey His will. And then it's gone. Oh, we'll still be tempted with it. But through Christ, we know we can overcome. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when we take full advantage of the Christ and His message, His teaching, His commands and doctrines, we can be free from sin. There is salvation, Peter said in Acts chapter 4, and no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Later in chapter 10 and verse 23, we read of Him all the prophets bear witness that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we can obtain the redemption that will make us right and whole in the sight of God. He rescued us, we're told in Colossians chapter 1, from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Paul told Timothy, "For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory." Security is in Christ, because in Christ we're saved. Saved from sin, saved from this world, saved from the struggles and difficulties and anxieties that can be placed upon us because of the things of this world. We're saved from the temporalness of all the things that we might grab a hold of here, because in Christ we turn to heaven. Our focus is there, not here. That's why we have security in Christ. And it requires us to devote ourselves to it. It's not something that comes passively. It's conditional. It's conditioned upon our obedience, upon our submission, our willingness to do the will of the Lord. If you look this evening and you say, you know, Preacher, you keep talking about everything. I don't have all these worries and struggles in life because I belong to Christ, but I've still got a lot of things that bother me. Could it possibly be because your hopes and dreams are in this world rather than the eternity to come? Could it be that you've allowed yourself to be distracted by the things of life and it's pulled you away from God? You're not putting Him first in all things, because that's the conditions that allow us to be to secure Christ. We put Him first. We take care of His business before we take care of anything else. We satisfy Him and His rules. If you look and find the things in your life that are amiss, we urge you to correct them. We can be free from sin by confessing it to God if we are in Christ. We have submitted ourselves to the Lord and been obedient to His will. Been added to the body of Christ through baptism. We have the avenue of prayer through our advocate, Jesus. He will speak on our behalf, and we can be forgiven of any sin that we're going to repent of and come to God and confess it. You've never obeyed Him. You've not been baptized. You're not in the family of God. If your baptism was not for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, you're not in the family of God. You need to be. Because it's only there that you will find the security
the hope that comes through Christ. You recognize you need to submit to the Lord. And word of that. I encourage you to come understand the sin of the